Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. What is biblical preaching? Now this is a subject that preachers must study, and it is essential for all of us to understand it. We must have a biblical concept of preaching. We need to know what to expect and what to support, and how to recognize biblical preaching and what to oppose. We want to consider this matter from both a positive and a negative point of view. We want to learn what biblical preaching is, but we also need to learn what it is not. The foundation of biblical preaching is in one's attitude toward the Bible. Now, this will determine how he uses the Bible and what he thinks of the authority of the Bible. You see, the Bible is not man's commentary on God's Word. It is not man's subjective and existential interpretation of experience. It is not merely a record of traditionalism and ancient code of ethics. It's not just a philosophy among other philosophies. The Bible claims to be and is the infallible, verbally inspired, inerrant, authoritative, all-sufficient Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now this can be proven from the evidence available to mankind if he will investigate it. All parts of it are inspired of God. The Holy Spirit chose the words without error from the vocabularies of men chosen for the task of writing the Bible. Nothing more is needed. Nothing less will suffice. It is God-breathed. Hence it is binding and authoritative. If there is any doubt or confusion about this point, there cannot be the biblical preaching for which the Bible calls. This has become a problem because too many have become convinced that the Bible is no longer to be regarded as our pattern and our guide. Such people are in gross error. To preach simply means to deliver a sermon. It is a religious discourse to influence the thought and the will and the emotion and the actions in the life of the hearer. The word sermon is from the Latin word meaning to stab or to thrust. Thus, one is cut to the heart, as in Acts chapter 2, and Acts 5, and Acts 7, as the result of preaching. To preach is to proclaim with formality and gravity, with authority and certainty and finality. The preacher is a herald of a message that comes from a source higher and greater than himself. His message is from the King of Kings. He is not permitted to proclaim a message of his own, but that which is from God. The pulpit is no place to air personal doubts, but to preach the word by which comes faith, Romans 10:17. Preaching is not intended to entertain or to amuse or just occupy time or just make people feel good. It is rather, as 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says, it is to speak as the oracles of God. Now there is a difference between having something to say and having to say something. The preacher, if he is a gospel preacher, has something to say. To evangelize means to be an evangelist, and it is to emphasize a good message, the message of salvation from sin, Romans 10 and verse 15. Evangelism is a combination of the right message from the right man for the right purpose. The declaration of the Lord's word is designed to save men from sin and produce an abundant life now and life eternally in heaven. Now, much that is called preaching today is not biblical preaching. The pulpit is not the place, nor are the worship services the time for the discussion of mundane earthly matters, current events, passing scenes, and the opinions of men, except as they relate to spiritual life. Secular speaking is not biblical preaching. Many are good orators, and they're actors, and they're entertaining speakers,
but they are not biblical preachers. The reason many people do not know the Bible, and the reason they are divided over the Bible, and some even refuse to conform to the Bible, is because much of that which is called upon by them to hear and is called preaching, it's not the presentation of the Bible. Often what they hear is a man-designed distortion of it. Sermons that are nothing more than just book reports of current bestsellers or travelogues or some analysis of the latest movie, the study of some prominent people in the news, or discussions of arts, sociology, psychology, human philosophy, ecology, that's not biblical sermons. The so-called sharing of uninspired opinions, rather than teaching inspired revelation, is not biblical preaching. Sermons that range from should the UN supervise a truce between nations, or as to why there is a wildcat strike at the Ford Motor Company, such things as that have been presented to religious people in worship services where there should have been biblical preaching. These subjects may have an interest. They may even have their place. But such subjects are not biblical. Such speakers are not gospel preachers. They're current event commentators, theologians, religionists, possibly even moralists, but they're not preachers of the gospel of Christ. Nor is the pulpit the place for the expounding of speculative and fanciful theories regarding the future, or regarding the work of deity, or the return of Christ, as if there were signs of the times to denote that he is about to appear. Often preachers draw large crowds with such subjects, especially as they pretend to predict the future. But what ought to be taught is that which has already been revealed in Scripture, and that alone. If any man teach otherwise, Paul said, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings and perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Paul admonished, from which withdraw thyself. 1 Timothy 6, 3-5. Friend, the purpose of preaching is not to grind somebody's axe, as it were, or to ride some hobby or vent some personal hang-ups, to create sensationalism. It's not for the purpose of displaying showmanship or to give a performance. The preacher ought not be on his personal ego trip when he's in the pulpit, seeking praise for himself from his hearers. Often preachers mark themselves by gaudy dress and funny stories and humor for humor's sake, personal bragging, personal testimonies, various oratorical gymnastics that do not edify. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5, Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. When a presentation is completed, the question ought to be asked, what truth was stressed? Often it is difficult to determine. But one can remember that quite a show was given, maybe, and the preacher was indeed a crowd pleaser, and people left marveling not at the truth, but at the preacher. Friend, we would persuade that biblical preaching is preaching that which fills the need, sirs, we would see Jesus. Biblical preaching is preaching that informs the hearer what God teaches. There is also that which can be labeled as spiritual sophistry. Closely akin thereto is the subtle and deceptive argumentation and the battling against straw men and fake issues. There is sometimes preaching where there is more emphasis placed on manner than message. Some are impressed with verbiage that is nothing more than techniques instead of truth. Many are impressed with the production of responses through emotionalism than genuine conversions through conviction to the truth. And while there is a place for persuasion and exhortation, it should not be used as a substitute or even as a competitor to instruction and the creation of understanding. You see, friend, Biblical preaching is more than simply using a multitude of scriptures and quoting passages. There must be explanation and application in the presentation in context. It is not proper to get a subject, decide on the points to be made, and then seek verses that will support what you've already determined to teach. That's getting the cart before the horse. Even the devil can quote scripture. One does not have to present numerous scriptures to have a sound and solid biblical message. Often long sermons are properly preached from just a single verse or a single phrase, maybe even from a single word. One great need of our time, as has been true in every age, that there be biblical preaching. This is the most relevant and necessary kind of preaching. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In James 1 and verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Too often people today are like those in the days of Amos, Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of God." Friend, I ask you, why should there be a famine of the word of God? It is because many who call themselves preachers are not preaching the Bible. They're preaching their creeds, their manuals, their disciplines, their feelings, their catechisms, their theology, their philosophies, their think-sos, and other such trivia of no real importance. What little Bible that is preached is often twisted and wrested out of shape and taken out of context until the very message of God is missed completely. Too many preachers are involved in everything on earth except learning the truth so they can teach that truth to others, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. They get involved in community projects, they're running errands, they're trying to be spark plugs for activity, they're promoting programs, they're being the church's public relations man, they're sponsoring bowling games and parties and golf tournaments and trips to the amusement parks. They lack study, they lack preparation, they lack comprehension of the truth, and are not offering much substance of spiritual nourishment for their congregations to eat whereby they can grow. Pew pressure is certainly a factor in the decline and the void of biblical preaching. Many hearers do not want it because it cuts across their conduct. They will not tolerate it, but only for a short while. If a preacher persists in presenting what is needed rather than just what is wanted, pew pressure begins to call for his dismissal and for his replacement with some people pleaser. In Amos 2 and verse 12, "But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophet, saying, prophesy not." What does that mean? That simply means that they came to the prophets and said, "Don't preach to us." In Amos 5 and verse 10, "They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly." In Amos 7 and verse 16, "Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac." Once a preacher was asked to teach the minor prophets, and he began with Amos. It was less than 3 weeks that the uproar against him was tremendous, simply because he dared to bring out the attitudes people had then against the preaching that was done by Amos. He never lasted to finish the study of Amos, let alone the minor prophets. People just did not want what was needed. They had no idea that the study of the minor prophets was such a condemnation of the very same kind of attitude that many people have today. They don't want the preaching of the word of God. Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10, "That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceits." And there be many who will accommodate that kind of pleading for preaching. There are those who say they are preachers who will do just whatever the audience might want. After Paul had admonished Timothy to preach the word, he added, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned aside unto fables." 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Economic pressure is a favorite weapon of the opponents of biblical preaching. To elders, evil men will come to say, "Get rid of that preacher, or we will withhold our contribution until you do." Well, that gets the attention of weak elders. To the preacher, they will say, and often the elders are the ringleaders in this, "Either change your message or we're going to fire you." Now, this is done alongside intimidations, ignoring the word preached and the truth presented, battling against it, doing everything except conforming to it. But friend, I say to you, without any fear whatsoever of being successfully refuted, any preacher worth his salt will resist the satanic surge of economic pressure, and he will never compromise one word of God's truth, regardless of the source of the pressure, or the intensity of the opposition, or the personal consequences for standing to the word of God. He must respect the teaching, buy the truth, and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. You see, truth is not the preacher's. It's not anybody else's to negotiate or to barter away. Truth is the preacher's to preach. There might be more biblical preaching if there were more preachers and hearers who were more concerned with the truth that is needed rather than the mushy nothings that many want. We should be mature enough to want what God says we need. That means we will rejoice in the whole counsel of God. Acts 20 and verse 27. Friend, it is a privilege to preach, and a privilege to hear biblical preaching. It is an awesome responsibility for both the preacher and the hearer. And since the Bible is the Word of God, when it is preached, we're listening to God. We're obligated to obey what it teaches, and thereby we can be blessed. To reject it is to reject God, and to reap the dreadful and eternal fruits of spiritual destruction. And all these things being true, friend, we must demand, we must support, we must appreciate sound biblical preaching. Thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, verse. And this we will not fail to do when we live the Bible and love it as we should, knowing it is the Word of God which it claims to be. And this will include our favorable response to whatever it teaches. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.